This is Brian, and I'm now with Adam.
Yes.
And still at the Charlotte Minicon, and we are talking to
Georges Genty.
And I think what people will know you from, especially right now, is the Buffy series, which is becoming extremely popular. The biggest question I would have is this something that you followed ahead of time, or is this something that you kind of jumping on and having to do research as far as how you want to draw somebody and, you know, having to go back and watch something? Because some of the stories are trying to follow directly in line with things that'll be on television. What was your preparation level for that?
Next to nothing, actually. I had no, I mean, I knew what Buffy was, and I peripherally, I understood it, but never saw an episode, never really did much, anything to go within that universe, the Joss Whedon universe. I was never really aware of it until, strangely enough, got the gig, and I pride myself on saying Joss Whedon actually asked for me to come and illustrate this book. So from there, I got educated very quickly because I didn't want to seem like a total loser when I talked to Joss eventually.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how you
quick
got that
step to Best Buy for some DVDs.
Dark Horse was nice enough to send me the last two seasons, 6 and 7, on DVD. And they said, here, this is going to be season 8, so you really need to get caught up on what was happening on the TV show. And to my credit, I got caught up, but I became so infatuated with the show, I went out and got seasons 1 through 5 on my own and have been a fan ever since.
It seems to me you have a very detailed art style. Is it something, I mean, Josh asked for you specifically, so obviously he likes your art style. Is it something, is there anything from Dark Horse or for him where he said, you know what, we really want you to draw it a little more like this or a little more like that, or he give you freedom to kind of recreate how you would draw how they look?
Yeah, I think he was, since he was already familiar with my work, he understood what he was getting when they were asking. And by no means do I say I was the only one they wanted. I'm sure they had a list of people who, if I turned them down, then somebody else would probably have jumped in there. But I think getting me, he understood this is the type of art we're going to get. I don't want to ask him to do this and then make him draw Buffy in a manga style or something like that. I think they understood this was something that, as they were looking for artists, they were looking for artists that they thought would fit the bill rather than somebody to say, well, he's a good artist, let's see if he can draw this way.
So artists come and go on the series, but you do all the variant covers, right?
Well, technically I'm the series artist.
Okay.
But I can't do all of the issues because of time constraints, because this is a book that does come out monthly, and Dark Horse was very adamant about saying, this book is going to come out monthly, whether you're drawing it or not. So it would behoove you to get caught up as much as possible. And to that end, Dark Horse says, we want you on the arcs, on the longer stories is where we want to see more of you. So if it so happens that you have to take off an issue, and you'll notice a lot of them have been the single issues. This recent one with Buffy and Frey was an obvious omission only because Carl Maleen did the Frey and arc way back when with Joss. So they thought it would be a nice little buffer to have Carl do that whole series. Gotcha. But otherwise, I'm supposedly doing all of them.
Gotcha.
And yes, I've done so far all of the alternate covers.
Excellent.
Now, what's it like going, as you mentioned, you know, the Whedon universe? What was it like going from not being involved in that at all to all of a sudden? I mean, Josh has some pretty hardcore fans, and each of his subcategories for his work, whether it be Buffy or Firefly or now Dr. Horrible and things like that, have a legion of fans. What was it like to jump into that?
The one of the biggest things that jumped at me was, look at all these girls. I had no idea. I've been in comics at that point for 10 years. I didn't know there were all these girls in comic books. And they were like, no, we're not. We're just into Joss. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm not going to complain. If it's Joss that gets people reading comics, that's great. And if it's Joss that gets women reading comics, I think is also a great thing to do as well. So that level of it, I was totally surprised, but totally accepting of it. And, it was a culture shock because I had no idea.
Has it been something that's been sort of a career boost as far as now other people that weren't knocking on your door? If somebody that wasn't knocking on your door before is like, wow, he's on a really popular book now, let's give him a call.
Yeah, I'd be stupid to say, oh, no, this had no effect on my career whatsoever. Buffy's been very good to me. I tell people, this is the girl I came with, and this is the girl I'm going to stay with at this dance.
Excellent.
I'm not blind to the fact that this was something, an opportunity that has given me thus far that I didn't have before any of this. So where it will lead me, hopefully somewhere equally as successful, but the idea that I'm on Buffy is something that I don't take for granted.
So, like, the way Buffy's being done, I guess there's writers on different runs, and it's kind of alternating between writers. Mm-hmm. You have to adjust to, like, writing styles at all when you're doing that?
Strangely enough, no. A lot of the writers approach their writing differently only because they're individuals. When it comes down to it, I have to illustrate what the written word is.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a process, and as long as you've got a script, it's the way you break it down is really up to you. It's not so much the way the writer does it. The little variances, maybe some of them are not as descriptive with panels, or maybe they're overly descriptive with panels, and you kind of have to find a way to say, this is what you're trying to say, and as an artist, this is how I'm trying to give it to you. And most of the writers have been great because they understand, dude, I write. I don't draw. If I were the artist, I'd be drawing this comic book. So I totally defer to your opinion when it comes to some sort of an art discretion.
One of the great things about this, too, from a comic standpoint, is if you want to name drop for a minute, a lot of people that aren't into Buffy don't realize that there's name, art, and writing talent all over these books. So people that you would read for something else, just because haven't picked up Buffy, there's great writers and artists that are doing these books. Who are some of the writers you've worked with besides Joss?
Well, Joss, obviously. Drew Goddard, who was a writer on Buffy, but he's also written the Cloverfield film, and he was on Lost for a little while. Jane Espenson, who I'm working with now, she's on Battlestar Galactica. She also wrote for Buffy. Who else? Brian K. Vaughan, obviously, who writes Ex Machina and Why the Last Man, and doing all these movie products, actually, that when I talked to him for the time we were together, I don't know why the guy writes comics. He's got so much doing with his movies and TV shows that are coming out that he's really got a lot to do. I'm not very good at name dropping, but if you...
those are who I was looking for.
Those are enough. Those are about the names I know.
you sound like you have a lot of connections with people that work in film or TV. Have you been approached to do storyboarding?
Nothing as such. Everybody, thankfully, that I've worked with has asked, you know, so what are you doing? Are you on Buffy for the long run? You know, because if you ever want to do something, call me up. Let me know. You know, definitely. Brian K. Vaughan was one where he's like, so you really want to stay on this Buffy thing? You sure? Because I've got this other project. Hey, jokingly, of course, but I was like, honestly, that's such a great compliment that you would say that, because I totally admire your work. So it has been good, yes. And not as such has it led to anything else, because I am committed to finishing this whole Buffy thing. But other than that, oh, that's just the water. Other than that, who knows? After all this is said and done, I would love it to go into movies. But, yeah, who knows where it goes? You know, we'll see.
So what will people know you of prior to your Buffy experience?
Probably I did Gambit for a while, Weapon X for Marvel as well. I did, just prior to Buffy, I did something called The American Way for Wildstorm, which was about a black superhero set in the 1960s, which got totally critical acclaim, and oddly enough, was with another screenwriter, John Ridley, mm-hmm. who wrote Three Kings with George Clooney, was in that movie, and quite a few other things. So I was sort of familiar with working with people who weren't in necessarily the comic genre before I ever got to Buffy, strangely enough.
Give us some...
we got nothing else. I've been pretty good at thinking, bouncing off of...
We're very short-minded. give us contact information and where... tell us how everybody can find your stuff online.
I have a website, kabalounge.com, kabalounge.com, and everything involving Georges Genty, you can probably find there. Mm-hmm. And you can also email me. I'm very accessible. A lot of people seem to think that once you are popular or whatever, you can't talk to them anymore, and I never understood that. So I'm always trying to be very generous and open to people, whoever wants to ask me.
We get a lot of people that don't go to events. Think that of comic book people, but we have yet to run across anybody in the industry that's... It's not like other entertainment industries. Comic book people are, generally speaking, regular people.
I guess because we're really, this is still a small pond. So to get a really big head in a small pond, that just doesn't seem to be right. So I think because of that, you can still talk to people. I mean, you know, I saw Mike Mignola at a show last year, and, you know, we were sitting there and he was telling me how his daughter loves Buffy. And yeah, in my head, I was going, oh my God, I'm talking to Mike Mignola. You know, and we're just sitting here talking. We're just right. So. Yeah, it's. I guess it's just that preconceived conception that you get.
I had one of those moments in sandwiching a conversation between Robert Kirkman and Matt Wagner. So, all right, I feel like I should say something because you're talking to me, but I don't really want to.
Yeah, right. Matt, I met Matt like last year. Like, I've known his work for years, but I've met him. He's a really great guy. We were going to Canada, and I'd never been to Canada show, and he took me under his wing and said, all right, this is how you do this, this is how you do this, and he was just very cool about how the whole process was set up. So, great guy.
Pause for a moment.
It's time to give away this Spider-Man 583 with the Ross Bond code. This is the first brand.
That's hard. It's got a
pretty tough to find these days. I think probably a day on eBay or around 100 bucks, maybe 125 or something. You should know that there's a second brand coming to the comic shop on Wednesday. It'll look like this with a yellow background. And then probably a Wednesday or two after that, there's a third brand coming where all the work can give you those seconds. Any of these fine comic shops that are represented here? There's three within, say, a couple miles of here. So just come on by.
One like right down the road.
Again, I want to thank Paul from Dominion Comics up in Lynchburg, Virginia for donating this book. Paul, it's become evident that Paul is now smarter than the rest of us. And he has some of these come up to his store, unlike many of us. Again, thanks for coming out today and supporting the show many times, the Heroes and Heroes Karma over all these years. I should say that there is another bigger convention coming up in about 6 months, June 19th through 21st. So we look forward to seeing all you folks out there for that. We appreciate the support for comics in general all around. All of us do. This is what we enjoy doing it, and we appreciate the opportunity to keep doing it. So, thanks so much for providing time for everybody. I need some help up here if anybody wants to come pull a name out of the hat, so to speak. I can do it. Okay, Mr. President to win. How about Jason Turner?
He's not here.
Jason Turner still here?
That poor guy. You can do better than that.
I'm trying to be subjective.
Well, I'm thinking about Free Comic Book Day is coming up too. So don't forget about that. May is 2nd this year. We'd love to have you at our store or any of the comic book stores around the area. Let's see, this is Hope Diaz. Hope Diaz. Is there hope in the room? All right. Third time's a charm.
I mean, there's a lot of people here, Brian.
I can't read it. Maybe I can't call it out. So, Tim Beeler? Tim Beeler is here. Congratulations, Tim. Again, everybody, thank you so much for being here. We'll do the 33rd annual Charlotte Anytime next January about the same time right here. So plan on it. Thanks a lot.
So are you going to be at Heroes Con this year?
I will, yeah. Every year or for the last, 10 so years I've been there. Yeah.
This will be my third year.
Is it?
Yeah.
My career mainly started with London Knight Studios with the Razor and all that. So obviously that was a big North Carolina thing. Mm-hmm. So you could not go to Heroes.
All the events that you probably go to, especially with how popular the book currently is, what's special about Heroes Con to you as an industry person that goes to that show?
Well, that's easy because Heroes is one of the few shows that is still very much a comic book show. And I think a lot of people appreciate that and don't want it to change because of that. And that's something I think really that's really important. Like me and I'm sure a lot of these other people up here, when you do a show, you realize sometimes you're only part of another cohesive whole that sometimes might not be very good for you, or you're just put in a situation where you're sitting there going, why am I here? I know it's a comic show, quote unquote, but it isn't really. Heroes is definitely and has been one of those shows that just is devoted to comics and as a result is supported through comics and I think is loved by people who love comic books.
The number one selling point that we try to give to people is that it's the best comic show. I mean, there's other things that have, you know, a lot of other bells and whistles that don't have anything to do with the books, but Heroes is about comic books more than anything else.
Yeah, they always have a very impressive lineup of guest artists. So that's, I think, a good indication as to whether or not a show is a comic or just a media show is how much they devote to the actual guests that they bring in there. Because, of course, you know, if it's more of a media thing, they want to get maybe a celebrity to come in, and the comic guests kind of get pushed off to the side. But you'll notice in Heroes, it's just, you know, the superstars are the comic artists. And that's great to have. You know, that's not necessarily has to be with everything, but it's great that this one show actually does say that.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely see you at Heroes, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Hey, I appreciate you guys' time.